What is up, Tappers? It is another Daily Tap for Thursday, January 18th. Hope you guys are wrapping up the week, getting yourselves ready for NFL Championship Weekend. Charlie here with you. You can find us on SnowTapWY, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Feel free to leave us a review as well as, you know, maybe drop us a few ratings. I don't know. Maybe a couple 5 stars. It would be mighty nice of you. So always appreciated. Hope you guys are doing well tonight or today. Hope you guys are doing well today. We're going to talk a lot about Jason Kidd. We're going to do a little SnowTap mailbox segment, and we're going to do a little rapid fire. Got a few different topics in the hopper for the rapid fire edition. So let's start with Jason Kidd. The Milwaukee Bucks lose last night, 106-101, a tough loss for the Bucks. They fall again to the Miami Heat. This is their second loss to the Heat in as many days. The Heat now have the tiebreaker over the Bucks, which could matter as the Heat are 3 games up on Milwaukee for that fourth seed. So this is all very important. This is all part of the, you know, what's going on right now. And the fact of the matter is this is not good. So we're not going to do a lot of talk about the actual game. That's for the recap, which you've probably already read. More so, we're going to talk about just certain things. And that's kind of the hope of what I'm going to do with the Bucks coverage on the Daily Tap, is take a few nuggets here and there and not necessarily talk about the games themselves. Rather, save that for the blog, and then here talk about different things like Jason Kidd calling the team selfish. So Jason Kidd, his post-game press conference, which is always illuminated, always the pinnacle of sports right there. He is just an orator beyond belief, and he talks about how the Bucks were selfish in the start of the fourth quarter, and that led to their demise, and that they're young, and they'll sort of work their way through it. This is a very big statement of Jason Kidd, because a couple things here. Number one, if the Bucks are being so selfish, why the hell are you not actually doing your job? Jason Kidd has nobody. He had the audacity to say that tonight. He had the audacity to call his team selfish, to throw his team under the bus, and not accept fault that he has to do a better job of being their coach. And he is just letting them free ball, letting them do whatever they want out there, and there is no structure to this offense. And we're seeing it time and again. A few weeks ago, I ranted about running into that same brick wall, right? That was one of the first Daily Taps. You got to go back a little bit for it. But that is kind of what I'm trying to say here, is the fact is that Jason Kidd has not shown any signs of improvement. He's not shown any signs that this team has figured it out. Tony Snell had 12 points in the first half. He didn't barely touch the ball in the second. I mean, it's that type of little stuff. And you look at these guys, and even though they are young, they can know to pass the ball. They can make good assists and finish. It's one thing if you're like, okay, Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, they're not finishing at the rim. Giannis isn't finishing. That's one thing. If they're being ball hogs and being out of control, then you have to reset and start looking at different things to do. You can't just make this all about the team and put in there that, oh, they're young. That excuse is done, man. That is not an excuse anymore. This is a veteran team, whether you like it or not, and you have to start coaching like that. It has to start changing. And it's not that I want to rag on Jason Kidd all the time. I really don't, but he makes it too easy. It is every fucking game there is something that Jason Kidd does that is infuriating. And it's not that a new coach wouldn't do some of the same things, but this team needs structure. They're a young team, and just to have them work it out is such bullshit. That is not how it's going to work. That is not how these guys are going to figure it out. Gary Wolfel had the point, and you know, Gary gets banged down a lot by Bucks Twitter, and you know, probably for good reason at times, but he had a comment of, I contend that one Heat player, Whiteside, could crack the Bucks starting lineup, yet the Heat have a better record than the Bucks. Spoelstra is a great coach. That says it all right there, right? Like, that is exactly it. The Bucks are 4 out of 5 better than the Heat on the starting side of things, and yet they are the better team right now, and it's all because of Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra probably might be the coach of the year at this point. It might be a little early for that talk, but he's definitely in the running right now for coach of the year, and that's the whole thing. Is like the Bucks get outcoached by these guys all the time. Dwayne Casey outcoaches Jason Kidd. You know, Eric Spoelstra outcoaches Jason Kidd. You've seen Rick Carlisle, even though the Bucks beat him once this year, outcoach Jason Kidd. Sometimes the Bucks get away with on talent and are able to win. And then when they play kind of average, mediocre coaches like the Scott Brookses of the world, they can win games. They can pull things out and they can pull away late because they're doing it on talent alone. And this whole thing of, well, let's wait and see how they are with Jabari comes back. How do we know that that's going to magically work? Jason Kidd has mismanaged the roster the entire year. He finally decided to trust Sterling Brown, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. How are we convinced that Jason Kidd's going to figure out just where to put Jabari Parker? And how is he going to make it work? Is it just going to be that Thonmaker is not going to see any time? Maybe that is. Maybe they go get a big and they start piecing it together. But Jason Kidd has just continually showed that there is no hope, that there is no hope in him. He can't coach this roster. He needs a roster of old guys. He needs a roster of old guys who can self-govern because that's what they need. They need self-governance, and they have a ton of talent, so they can still get into the playoffs because of their talent. But the fact of the matter is when shit starts going sideways, there is nobody to kind of push them in the right direction. No Jason Terry. Jason Terry can't do it. I mean, he's just a bench guy. They need their coach. They need somebody to tell them, guys, relax. Start passing the ball. You're doing it when Olynyk was the center. You were moving the ball all over the place when Whiteside was out. You were taking advantage of it. Do it again. And that's all it is. That's all it is. And yet, he just is okay with doing the bare minimum. And he's okay with getting by. And he knows he has a once-in-a-lifetime talent that's getting him by. If Jason Kidd did not have Giannis on this roster, he would already have been fired because the Bucks wouldn't have made the playoffs. Bucks wouldn't have been this team. So let's just say they had Jabari Parker and they had another guy drafted in the 15th, you know, with that 15th pick. They'd be just another team in the East. They would be the Pistons. They would be the Hornets. They would just be another team in that East. And yet, Jason Kidd thanks these lucky stars that Giannis is there to cover his ass all the time. So now they get a couple days off. They go to play Philly on Saturday. We'll obviously talk about that Sunday. You know, Philly fans have a lot more to worry about given their big game on Sunday with the Eagles. But at the same time, you know, that's a big game. And Brett Brown's a pretty good coach. And Joel Embiid's going to be a problem for this team. So we'll see. But Jason Kidd calling this team selfish is an absolute joke because I do think there is some selfish parts to this team, especially guys like Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton who really try to get their shots working and sometimes miss out on Giannis, just letting Giannis cook and finding their shots through Giannis. But it all starts with coaching. It all starts at the head of the snake. And the fact of the matter is that head of that snake is out of control, has the biggest ego in the fucking locker room, and yet no one has the balls to tell him to shut the fuck up and start coaching because that's just not what they do. So that's the world we live in. We have to accept it. I said it on Tapping the Keg yesterday. You can go back and listen to it. I said, guys, you got to understand that unless this thing goes really sideways and goes north, or go south, excuse me, Bucks aren't going to fire anybody. And if Kidd's going to get fired, it'll be if they finish 6 or worse. I said 7 or worse. I kind of contend 6 or worse. He's probably losing his job. That's the only way it's going to happen. And I don't know if a 5 seed will, you know, if 5 seed keeps it, maybe it does. And then we have to do this shit all over again. But I think everyone's getting frustrated. I think the frustration setting in because you're alternating win losses every game, and you just want to see some consistency. And right now, the Bucks are an inconsistent program, and it starts with the coach, and it filters down to the players, and they shouldn't be what they are. And we'll see. They do have an easy schedule coming up after Philly, and it'll probably define the season. And I thought this week defined the season. I think every week is going to be big for Jason Kidd. So this is our first edition of the Snow Tap Mailbox. I don't know what I'm going to call it. I haven't decided whether I'm going to have a submission place for you guys to send in some questions. I don't know if I'm going to have like a Google Voice where you could leave a voicemail. I don't know what exactly we want to do. I should point out that these things could be asked about anything. This could be local sports. You could have a question about the bar scene in Milwaukee. You could have just a life question. I'll really take anything. I don't know if this is going to be a weekly Thursday segment, but it was one of those where we had some moments, and so let's chat about it. So here's what it reads. Hey, Charlie, it's Shark from the Third Ward. Long time, first time. I was hoping you could use one of these daily pods to talk about Jabari Parker, that is, the Milwaukee Bucks. When is he expected back? What we expect him to contribute, how he affects the chemistry of the team, and maybe even what his contract looks like moving forward. So that's, again, from Shark in the Third Ward. Shark, thanks a lot, buddy. I appreciate the comment. Yeah, Jabari, I think John Horst made it seem like he's ready to go, but they just want to be very careful. And so that he's probably expected back, you know, in that time frame of next couple of weeks, heading down the stretch of right before the All-Star break. And so it'll be interesting to see when exactly that time is back. If you go look at the Bucks schedule, let's take a look here. Got 23-21. That is just pathetic. Okay, let's take a gander as I load this up. Exciting radio, as always, guys, right? So if you were to say that he's coming back sometime in the, you know, that time frame, Bucks have a Monday night game against Philadelphia on the 29th. They also head home to play the Knicks on the 2nd. I would guess it's a home game. But then they do a road trip that is at Brooklyn, at the Knicks, at Miami, at Orlando. And so they're on the road for pretty much a week in February before heading home to play Atlanta and Denver right before the All-Star game start or right before the All-Star break. So I would guess that February 13th date is going to be the Jabari Parker return. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the 2nd, but I don't know if they're going to do the whole traveling thing. I would be stunned if it was next Friday against Brooklyn. So I think that's when Jabari Parker is going to come back, but I don't think it's going to be after the All-Star break. So I'll say February 13th, but those are dates. He's going to start out at home. I would be surprised if they started again on the road. And just because I think the whole idea of him having back will be there. And what can we expect him to contribute? You know what? That's a great question. I don't know exactly, because I think what you have to look at it is you have to look at him just kind of starting slow, that he might not be as aggressive as he will be maybe next year to start the year. We saw with Parker after his last knee injury, he sort of had to ease his way in, and then he was starting to really break out and really starting to be this 20-10 player right as he hurt his knee. And he had some of these phenomenal stat lines where he carried the team when Giannis wasn't playing, and those guys played so well together. And you have to see, you know, and that kind of fits into that your second question here about how does he affect team chemistry. I think the only thing you really have to worry about there is how does he work with Eric Bledsoe, and then how do you manage Malcolm Brogdon's minutes, because Malcolm Brogdon likely goes to the bench. I would say you at least start Jabari Parker probably in that second unit to kind of get him familiar, get him comfortable with different units. And at some point in March, you're probably bringing him as a starter. But at first, he should just be sort of this guy getting about 20 minutes. You know, Zach LaVine, I think, is a good way to look at it, as you're seeing LaVine sort of naturally progress up. And he actually said to reporters Wednesday night that he wants more minutes. So, you know, but that's kind of that sort of thing, is like you want to get him there. And yes, that second knee injury is an issue, so you have to look at it, but you got to keep playing with kind of no regard. And trust me, Jabari Parker is going to want to play, because he knows that this is a contract year. He knows that he can make an impact. If he is the reason the Bucks get the 4 seed, he's going to want big money, and it's going to be there. And yeah, you asked about his contract situation. You know, he's a restricted free agent, so the Bucks have first rights. I think there are going to be teams who are going to want him. I think teams like Chicago are going to look long and hard about possibly Parker being at Temple. He's probably going to command $100 million. There's a lot of it. Well, you can't give him more money than Giannis. If you Mitch has talked about this on Tabbing the Keg in the past. He's adamant that they cannot pay him more than Giannis. I would agree with Mitch. I would say that you're probably setting the bar about $90 million, and you're probably doing it right under Giannis or right around Giannis, but maybe less money per year. And yeah, it's going to be a really tricky thing because I think Jabari's going to want a lot of money, and the way the NBA cap is structured is there is going to be that sort of problem where what is it? Is Giannis going to be cool with that? I think Giannis would be, just because of the fact that he took less money. We all know that he took less money, and that was made sort of it there. So yes, him being a restricted free agent, it's gonna be tricky. It's gonna be a tricky way, and teams are gonna try to go after him and think, hey, we can do it. But I do think the Bucks are gonna have some sort of offer built in that is around, hey, it's incentivized. If you hurt your knee again, and people are like, he's not gonna do it. But I got to tell you, I think that every team is going to ask for it. I don't think one team is dumb enough to say, maybe the Kings would say, hey, we're going to give you all this money and we're not going to put money restrictions on paying us back if you hurt yourself again. Any team's going to do it. Any team will do it because they're going to see the Embiid contract and they're going to want to replicate it. Now, Embiid's getting about $130 million a year, I think, or a year. He's getting $130 million. I don't think he's going to get $130. So I kind of think that's where the Bucks are at with Jabari Parker. I think it'll be really exciting to have him back. I think we should temper our expectations for just how much he's going to make an impact until maybe the end of March. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a guy who all of a sudden comes to life in the playoffs, and he's the reason maybe the Bucks are in the second round. I think that's a legit possibility. I just think we have to just ease our way into it, just like the Bucks are going to ease their way into it with Jabari. And also, too, this is another awkward thing, bringing back to topic one. He could probably save Jason Kidd's job. And whether you think that's depressing or not, it is a real possibility. But it will be great to see everybody on the court again. You will feel, I'm sure, the first couple games you'll feel snake bitten, like, okay, who's going to get hurt now? Because that's literally what happened. Chris Middleton comes back and Jabari hurts himself again. So we won't think those negative thoughts, and we'll try to stay positive and go for it. All right, let's do a little quick rapid fire since we got some time. Okay, so NFC, championship weekend news and notes. I think tomorrow I might lay out just, different Super Bowl possibilities and see what we like with either of them and just sort of look at that. So look forward to that, and I did already do a prediction on Tabbing the Keg. Probably will look at another prediction again. One, some defensive tackle, Adam Butler, I've never really heard of him, sorry Adam, has said that the Jalen Ramsey comments about them going to the Super Bowl is bulletin board material. I mean, that's so cliche, it's so expected, I don't really think it actually is. I mean, I'm sure they know what they're going to say, and I'm sure Brady will try to pick on Jalen Ramsey, but at the end of the day, that's just typical football bullshit. Brady apparently hurt his hand in practice. He was unavailable to speak to the media. It is probably going to be one of the great mysteries going into this game. It definitely gives Patriot fans an excuse if the Jaguars win, and that's bullshit. But who knows? Maybe he's really hurt. I think no one will ever know. I don't think he's going to miss this game. I don't think it's one of those things where he broke his hand. I'm sure that the rumor mill on that's going to get wild tomorrow. Or today, because I'm sure there wasn't a lot talked about it, and so now you're going to have it. Going into the NFC, the Vikings made a comment that the Eagles field is sloppy, so apparently the Vikings are working up every excuse to figure out how when they do lose this game, how they're going to make it. So, oh yeah, it was the field's fault, it wasn't our fault. And apparently that's a big issue for Mike Zimmer, is making them aware that, hey, that field, be careful, that field's going to be sloppy. There is some rain expected. It's going to be in the 50s, which kind of is a bummer for those of us cheering for the Eagles. I think we would have all liked to see it around about good 20 degrees. So then also too, I have two more things. How about the Brian Urlacher story? This thing is wild. So this is according to TMZ that the mother of Brian Urlacher's 12-year-old son basically conspired with attorneys and a news reporter to paint her as a murderer and is now suing for $125 million. She had a child with Urlacher in 2005, and her husband, who died with a gunshot wound to the head, was 2016, and basically said that he committed, he shot himself, and but they made Urlacher made it seem like that she wasn't the suicide, rather Tanya murdered, her name's Tanya, murdered Ryan, and claims that this was all plot to get custody of her son. Wild story. Absolutely nuts. Not something that I would imagine Brian Urlacher doing, but I mean, that's right out of a movie. That is right out of a movie. Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff there. And then I did want to give a quick TV review of The Assassination of Giovanni Versace. I did not like it. I don't know if I can even give it a 3-episode test. I read my guy Sleepinwall to see if I was just being like a simple-minded TV loser, and I was not. Sleepinwall didn't really like it either. I think because it was from the People versus O.J. Simpson, you thought, okay, this is going to be legit. This is going to be just kind of what we expected from that show, and it is not. And so I didn't really like it. Maybe some of you did. If you guys watched it Wednesday night, let me know. And then there's that. And also just thoughts and prayers with everybody at Washington State football. Their quarterback, who is at the Holiday Bowl, Tyler Helinski, shot himself yesterday. And, I guess the biggest thing there is everybody just talk to somebody. Anyone will listen. All your friends are going to listen. If you're going through a tough time and you really are in a bad spot, people are going to listen. People are going to embrace you and pay attention. Don't be afraid to talk about your feelings. Don't be afraid to cry to your friends. Don't be afraid to also tell your friends that you love them and that you love them and appreciate them, and let them know that you're always there for them, because that is the most important thing. And I, and anyone who listens to this, who's a friend of mine or who just listens, you can always talk. I will always listen. I will always listen to you. And I do that because I think that we always need a sounding board. We always need somebody to vent to, and it's really important. So thoughts and prayers are with them, and hope that they get through this really trying time. So that's it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk a little more NFC. We'll talk a little more championship weekend and anything else that does come about. So take care, Tappers. Have a good one.